This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to Washtenaw United, where we explore issues of equity and opportunity in our community through our content partnership with the United Way of Washtenaw County. I'm David Fair, and this week we're going to take a look at the importance and the good works being offered at and through Packard Health. Between January and May of this year, Washtenaw Public Health has reported 38 fatal opioid-related deaths. Continues to be a growing problem in the county and our states and country. We're in the beginning stages of changing attitudes about addiction from a criminal concern to a matter of public health. And Packard Health is at the fore on that front. Our guest today is Ankur Soni. He is Packard Health Medical Director and a family physician. And Dr. Soni, thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you for having me here.
Packard Health opened back in 1973, but it really wasn't until 2014 that it began to address the opioid problem. What was the impetus to enter that part of the health arena?
I think a lot of data was coming out nationally, and we were seeing a lot locally with both the demand we were getting from patients and the concern we had with patients not being able to come off of opioids. So we really looked at our prescribing patterns and said we really need to close how many people were starting on opioids and trying to withdraw as many patients as we can in a safe manner. And those who have become dependent or had signs of addiction, referring them on to further treatment. It was sort of a natural extension with our primary care efforts that we had with Dawn Farms and Home and New Vision, where we were providing
primary care facilities.
Those are treatment facilities, yep. And we also had been working with the homeless community. And so, you know, when you're doing primary care with these organizations and taking care of people that were suffering from substance abuse.
So in 2015, you opened the Packard Health facility in Ypsilanti. Mm-hmm. It's now one of three facilities, with the other two being in Ann Arbor. In 2018, Packard Health began practicing a new manner of treating opioid addiction from that Ypsilanti facility. What does that entail?
The treatment program we had set up is called medication-assisted treatment. And this entailed hiring on an addictionist, Dr. Burr, and hiring staffing, both counselors and peer coaching, and partnering with Home and New Vision to have them on site to really start offering both medication and referral on to treatment, as well as helping people that are pre-contemplative, people who are not ready to quit, engage with someone who can help them with that process, going to mutual support groups such as AA or NA. So that's how it started off in February of last year.
It's called the MAT program, Medication-Assisted Treatment. Mm-hmm. I want to approach that in a couple of different ways, starting with medication. Mm-hmm. For as long as I've been aware of the heroin issue anyway, methadone was being used as part of the treatment plan. So what is being used as medication in this treatment process?
So methadone is still available. It's categorized slightly differently. So the methadone clinic atmosphere is sort of a different regulatory beast, and so it's not done in the primary care setting. And what we offer are primarily two medications for both alcohol and opioid use disorder. One is a medication called naltrexone or Vivitrol, which is an injectable medication. It's non-opioid. It works for both alcohol and opioid use disorder. And then for opioid use disorder, we also have buprenorphine. A lot of people hear about Suboxone or Subutex. This is a partial opioid agonist and antagonist. All that means is that it blocks the receptor from things like heroin and stronger opioids and helps alleviate cravings and the desire to seek more opioids.
We know from the methadone program that that created problems unto itself. Mm-hmm. Are we seeing different results with the use of these alternative drugs?
I think so, yeah. You know, because it's not a pure opioid, you can't overdose from Suboxone. It's a much safer medicine to take in the primary care setting or, you know, in an outpatient setting. Both have been having success in terms of retention rates. And I think part of the issues we've had with methadone are some of the regulatory issues. Both are safe alternatives, but I think buprenorphine is a much easier one to manage.
Then on the assisted part of the program, you kind of touched on it. The medication part of it just can't work without proper therapeutic support, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, we've seen studies that, especially at the beginning, therapy is really important to the treatment program. Both of them work really well together. Past the first 6 months, we still see benefits to medication. Therapy is less important beyond that, but I think a lot of patients find, on an anecdotal level, they find benefit from continuing therapy past that point.
You mentioned a couple of treatment programs that you work with in the area. Mm-hmm. Working in concert with one another, does that create better outcomes than it does just coming to you or just going to Dawn Farms?
I think so. First of all, it brings us more patients in because these are organizations that have been working in this community, and so they know how the epidemic looks on the street level, and they know where the patients are at, and the community knows where they're at as well. We haven't traditionally been an addiction treatment center, so I think being new, that was helpful to have those partners.
Washtenaw United continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with the medical director of Packard Health, Dr. Ankur Soni, and we know that addiction crosses all socioeconomic, gender, and racial boundaries. However, if you have money, seeking treatment certainly becomes far more accessible. Mm-hmm. There are many that face financial and housing insecurity, who lack insurance. Will Packard Health provide treatment in those situations?
We provide treatment to everyone, and this is largely due to support we have from grants from both national organizations. The federal government's been increasing funding, but also our local partners, the Washtenaw County Coordinated Funders, United Way, University of Michigan Community Foundation's given us a supportive grant. We also use some assistance from St. Joe's Medical Center, and then the things we can't provide directly to those patients. That's where Dawn Farms and Home and New Vision also help out. But for many people, we're able to provide treatments. It kind of varies based on coverage, and Medicaid is now covering most services, but we will help everyone in any way we can.
I want to explore your story for a moment. You are a primary care family physician. When you began your medical career, was addiction treatment on your radar?
Not really. We just started hearing the first murmurings of overprescribing of opioids, but it did not look anything like what we know now. It was looking like that. We just didn't know it at the time. I think
sometimes when we talk about addiction and substance abuse, we get caught up in the discussion of the drugs themselves, the dangers, the societal implications. What gets lost is the fact that this is really about people, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. Our family, our friends, our neighbors all know somebody who has this problem. How important is that human element in the manner in which you treat and deal with the patients?
I think it's essential. I mean, first of all, each individual has their own story as well, and you need to understand that, because even though there's, the medication, the prescribing is pretty standardized, it's the stuff around the medication that we really have to make sure we're addressing, getting them reunited with their families, getting them back into employment. If you can't do those things, you can't address the despair that some people feel, the medication won't work by themselves.
Now that you're deeply involved in this issue and understand the majority of opioid addictions began with doctor-prescribed medication, mm-hmm. how do you approach matters of pain management? What is your opioid prescription policy at this point?
Yeah, so as a practice, we avoid starting people on opioids for chronic pain. There's no evidence that it's safe or effective long-term. For acute things, cancer, surgery, we rely a lot on local experts. The state of Michigan has the OPEN project that has very good guidelines on if someone has surgery, how much opioid should they get. The hospitals have really changed their standards as well. So we kind of follow those guidelines, but we are trying to avoid opioids as there's no safety evidence for using them long-term. And we use non-medication treatments. So physical therapy for chronic pain has been the most effective, addressing underlying depression or other things that may contribute to their chronic pain as well.
What is Packard Health's plan moving forward to start trending the opioid epidemic in the other direction?
Yeah, I think continuing to partner with organizations, the courts, the jails, I think that's really helped us out. And I think we have to continue to grow and have better outreach into the community. We've seen about 72 individuals in the past year had around 900 visits. But when we're having 300 overdoses in the ER in the past year and 80 deaths in the community in the past year, it means there's hundreds of potentially 1,000 more people out there that need access to treatment. Only 10% of people nationally get treatment with medication. So I think continuing to find new ways of doing outreach, helping work with the emergency rooms to get people who had just overdosed into treatment within 24 hours is something we're really looking forward to working on right now with St. Joe's.
That seems like excellent reactive care to a problem. Mm-hmm. So we always talk about how higher education outcomes are determined by what we experienced in early education. Mm-hmm. Should we be doing more in that early education to make people aware and to educate our community, our children, and our families about the dangers and how to avoid them and what to do if it becomes an issue?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's multiple levels that you as an individual can help with the epidemic. So one, I think, is if you're prescribed opioids, really have a deep conversation with your provider about how safe is this. Don't take it as a scheduled medication. And then learning about proper disposal. Don't hold on to narcotics after you're done with them. There's red barrels, mostly at police departments. These are specialty areas where you can drop off the medications to be disposed of in a safe way. I think the other part is learning to use Narcan, which is a reversal agent. So if you do have a loved one or someone that you come across that has overdosed, you know how to reverse it within the first couple of minutes before it is deadly. And then looking out for warning signs in family family members, especially under age 25 is where this epidemic is hitting really hard, and where we're seeing highest death rates. And so I think looking for changes in mood, more irritability, signs of withdrawal would be, you know, nausea, vomiting, flu-like symptoms almost. You know, suddenly some money's missing, possessions are missing. These might be signs. That's not easy, yeah. And we don't want to think about that with the people we love, but these are some possible warning signs that you don't want it to be too late. You know, I think those are some of the things we can do as family members in the community.
Overriding message, help is available, and don't fear reaching out.
Exactly, exactly.
Dr. Soni, thank you so much for the time and the insight.
I appreciate you having me on to talk about this important subject.
That is Dr. Ankur Soni. He is the Packard Health Medical Director and a family physician. If you'd like to find out more about Packard Health's medication-assisted treatment program and the rest of the services offered, head to WEMU.org and you'll find the background information and all the links you need. Washtenaw United is produced in partnership with the United Way of Washtenaw County, and it's heard each Monday. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.